Jesus Christ came to set us free. Jesus didn't come to replace what Moses told the people from God. He came to fulfill it. That word to fulfill it, he came to make it possible to complete. Because Christ not only enables us to live to the power of 10, but he gives us the means to be able to cope with these battles that we have in our human disposition and with the sin in our lives. There is not one passage in Scripture, and this is not an excuse, that says when you give your life to Christ that you become immune from sin. When you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you become sensitized to sin. Sin bothers the believer because the Spirit of God indwells you, according to 1 John. The Encouraging
Word. Welcome to The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And today, this message on one word takes us straight to the book of Exodus. And as we discover, these 10 commandments are not something that's just for the Old Testament. It's for New Testament living. It's for the way you and I are going to live this Wednesday to the fullest and know that we're in the center, not the permissive will, but the center of God's will. As we study the Word together, know that we're here for you. We're connecting online at theencouragingword.org, a great place to hear this message and others. Plus, we've also got a phone line at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We're in Exodus chapter 20. Living to the power of 10. This is what God said on the top of Mount Sinai. And judging by the massive response that we are getting, probably the biggest response that I've ever had in my 36 years of ministry, coming from everywhere, related to living to the power of 10. This is what God said to Moses. God told Moses, this is the way it is. And we're in the 9th commandment. This is what God said, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, we're going to ask the Lord to help us to understand this. I want you to turn very quickly to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. So I want to read to you two verses because Jesus had something to say about this. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11. Jesus said, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you. And watch this next one. Utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad because your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who lived a long time before you. I think Jesus contextualized this. Now watch this. This is very important for us. We're going to talk about bearing false witness. And there are two categories of people worshiping today. Number one, there are those here today who are guilty of bearing false witness. I'm going to tell you what the Bible tells us about that. There are those here today who are guilty of bearing false witness. And folks, I'm about to show you something incredible. Because we're discovering something in the Bible that really strikes very deep. Who amongst us is not guilty? I didn't say that there are one or two of you who are self-righteously perfect. We're discovering this right throughout these 10 commandments. So I want everybody to watch me. If you want Moses to run your life, have a good time. Legalism comes from Moses. Legalism is the thou shalt not of our Christian faith. Jesus Christ came to set us free. Jesus didn't come to replace what Moses told the people from God. He came to fulfill it. That word to fulfill it, he came to make it possible to complete. Because Christ not only enables us to live to the power of 10, but he gives us the means to be able to cope with these battles that we have in our human disposition and with the sin in our lives. There is not one passage in Scripture, and this is not an excuse, that says when you give your life to Christ that you become immune from sin. When you give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, you become sensitized to sin. Sin bothers the believer because the Spirit of God indwells you according to 1 John. He comes to live in you so that when sin begins to enter into the life of a believer, there is set up by God through His Spirit a revulsion against that sin. Because God can in no way tolerate sin. He kicks against it. That's why Paul says, make sure every day that you put on the whole armor of God. Why bother? Why should we need to have armor if we are not going to be attacked? So there is one group of people worshiping right now that are guilty of bearing false witness. There's a second group of people right now who are the bearers of the brunt of false witness. There are the bearers of false witness, and there are those who bear the brunt of those who bear false witness. Bearing false witness is an endemic sin in the heart of man that has catastrophic consequences for people. Pews are never bothered by the things that we say that are not true. People get very hurt by it. And some people's lives get destroyed by it. God has given me a word for those of us who are guilty of bearing false witness. And God has given us a word today for those of us who have borne the brunt from those who have borne false witness against us. There's many different ways to tell the truth in the Scriptures. We can come at the truth from many different ways. One of my favorite Christian apologists is Ravi Zacharias. And he told a story, and I just share the story, about this young man who went to pastor a church, a small church that had been split, broken, wide open, devastated, was on the rocks. I mean, it was over, finished. This young man arrived there as pastor, and God began to bless the ministry. And the church grew. It grew so much, they were packed out. They eventually had to build a new sanctuary, Ravi Zacharias reported in this story. I mean, everything was busting at the seams. The problem was the new sanctuary that they needed to build would cost millions of dollars. Well, it just so happened that there were two men who were brothers who were members of that congregation. And they were both rascals. I mean, they were just renegades. I mean, these two gentlemen were very wealthy. They had a lot of means. But everybody knew they were crooked. And one of them died. So the surviving brother went to the pastor of this booming little church and said to him, Pastor, here is a check for you. And it's a check for $1 million to help build the new sanctuary, and I'm going to give it to you on one condition. The pastor said, what might that be? He said, at the funeral service of my brother, I want you to get up and tell everybody that he was a saint. By the way, if any of you want to try that on me, I'm open. To which the pastor thought for a minute. He thought, okay, you've got a deal. He took the check. for $1 million, and the day came for the funeral 3 days later. The little church was packed out. Everybody was sitting there saying, I wonder what he's going to say about this deceased man who was such a rascal. So the pastor got up and his mind was turning, and he stood up and he said, well, it's Joe's funeral today, and folks, every single one of us in here know that he was just a rascal. I mean, if ever there was a crooked man in this world, it was Joe. I mean, this guy came out sideways. Everybody knew that he was a crook. I mean, he had a bad temper. He operated in an untoward manner. I mean, this man, quite frankly, folks, he was just a disgrace. And the whole congregation was sitting there, and the brother who had this promise from the pastor was just about to die in the front row. And the pastor said, well, all of us knowing what a crook Joe was, and then he looked over and he said, but compared to his brother, he was a saint. A lot of different ways you can get to the truth, right? You can come at it from all different angles. You know, there are many illustrations in the Bible about bearing false witness. A lot of them. I came up with so many. Joseph. Remember how Joseph was sold into slavery and then Potiphar's wife bore false witness against him and he was imprisoned? Moses. How many times was Moses borne false witness against? I mean, right throughout his illustrious career. David. When David killed Goliath, here he was a young man, a young lad, and yet people came and said he had an ulterior motive. He wanted the kingdom of Saul. They bore false witness against him. Nehemiah. Nehemiah was God's servant, went to rebuild the wall, and they came against him from every which way but loose, and they bore false witness against him. Job. I mean, what a story about Job. And Zophar, who bore false witness against Job. Peter and John. Two great preachers of the word, how repeatedly they bore false witness. Paul was accused. They bore false witness against St. Paul, the apostle, and they said to him many times, listen, your conversion's just phony. They tried to indict him all over again. Jesus, of course, classic. That's what sent Jesus to the cross, bearing false witness against him.
Forgive the interruption. Dr. Wilton insists I interrupt, and you're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. In case you didn't know, you just tuned in. This is the Encouraging Word broadcast, and this features the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton. And in these moments, we're diving into God's Word, especially about the Ten Commandments and how they apply to the way we live out our life today, to the best life that we can live. The Encouraging Word broadcasts are reaching people all over the world, and we want to say thank you to a very special group of people who help us make this happen.
Thank you for being an encourager with me through the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry. You are making a difference in people's lives. Why don't you become an encourager? Partner with us. Partner with me. Become an encourager today and be part of something far bigger than any of us.
When you take this step of faith, you'll receive the exclusive brand new CD-DVD resource called Erasing Jesus, a powerful tool that'll help you stand strong in your faith in a world that's somewhat intolerant to Jesus Christ. Also, you'll get a bonus journal just to say thank you for partnering with us. In addition, you'll receive a monthly personal letter from Dr. Wilton, as well as other resource opportunities, a 24-hour confidential live prayer line, a quarterly daily devotional guide, and notifications of events featuring Dr. Wilton in your area. To learn how you can become an encourager, send your request to Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us at 866-899-WORD. Or visit us on the web at theencouragingword.org. We hope you will make your commitment to spread the precious gospel of Jesus Christ around the world with us today. If you'd like to discover more, you can visit our website, hear this message again, or others that are connected to this wonderful Living to the Power of 10 series that's online at theencouragingword.org. It's a long URL, but it's simple once you get the hang of it. It's theencouragingword.org. We'd love to connect you with Dr. Wilton's messages and other resources that will help you grow in your faith. We also want you to know that we're available for you 24 hours a day. You can pick up the phone and give us a call. We'd love to pray with you, love to connect you with great resources. The number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We would love to let you know that we stand ready to maybe answer some questions you have about God's Word, about the ministry, and most of all, to pray for you. The number one more time is 866-899-9673. Now back to today's message, One Word with Dr. Don Wilton.
That's what sent Jesus to the cross, bearing false witness against Him. Time without number. And Jesus made the statement that I just read. Said, blessed are you when you are falsely accused for my sake. He put it into a spiritual context. And the reason he did that was he was putting truth alongside falsehood. That's what Jesus was saying. Everything that's truth is measured against me because I am truth. Anything outside of my measurement is false. If God cannot accept it, it's not true. Does God accept what you're saying? If He doesn't accept it, it's not true. That's the standard of measurement. So what is bearing falsehood? Well, there's so many ways of talking about it. Lying, fabricating, making up, exaggerating, slander. We could go on and on and on. And the Bible tells us, all these illustrations, how to bear false witness. What does it mean? It means to spread, like you throw a net. To spread things out that are not true. It means to join hands with others. There's so many illustrations in the Bible of people bearing false witness by actually coming into agreement with someone else who is saying something false. To indulge. It's like looking at a slice of chocolate cake and saying, you know, I know that I shouldn't have it, but I'm going to indulge myself. God's word says you can bear false witness by indulging, even though you don't want to do it. You indulge in that. It means to determine. That's a determinate foreknowledge. You make a definitive issue. To conspire. Bearing false witness is a conspiracy coming against a particular person or an organization. Bearing false witness in the scripture, accommodating. It carries with it an insipid form of silence. It also means to fail to come forward. You know that somebody on that campus at school, you're in the lunchroom, and you know that there's somebody saying something about someone else that's not true. You know it, but you just fail to come forward. You don't say anything. You're guilty of bearing false witness according to Scripture. To insinuate. That little word insinuate means you don't quite say it like that, but if you just were to listen carefully, you're actually lying. You're bearing false witness. You're in the business of character assassination. Of course, the big one is to gossip. To gossip. I think the biggest and easiest means of gossip is prayer. I've said that to you. We must pray. We need to pray for each other. I'm so grateful that we gather together and we pray. But I challenge all of us to examine our hearts. Are we sharing prayer requests or are we just spreading gossip about somebody? Well, you know, can I just ask you to pray for so-and-so? Of course I'll pray for them. Well, you know what they did, don't you? Gossip. Gossip tears people apart. Talking about people and discussing other people. And then, of course, to slander. Slandering carries the awful thing of bullying. Slandering is bullying. It smacks of, I know what bullying is, folks. I went to boarding school. You want someone to talk to you about bullying? I understand bullying. I went to an all-boys school, and the bullying was unbelievable. I was in the military. I know what bullying is. Bullying is an insipid, awful thing, folks, and the Bible allies that with slander, with God. And the New Testament comes along. When you get into the New Testament, I want Jesus to show me how to live out my Moses. That's what I want. I want Jesus to help me to control what Moses tells me about. And the New Testament has a distinct view. The New Testament does six things specifically related with bearing false witness. It affirms. There are many passages in the New Testament where Jesus brings up the issue of bearing false witness. It identifies. It identifies. If you go, for example, I know we don't have a lot of time to go to all these passages, but in Matthew chapter 15, I'm just giving you an illustration. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18. God's word identifies this whole issue of bearing false witness, of lying, of saying things about other people. This is what the Bible says. But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person, for out of the heart come evil thoughts and murder and adultery and sexual immorality, theft, false witness. These are the things that defile a person. Do you know, by the way, every time you tell an untruth, you lie, you bear false witness, you not only grieve the heart of God, but you defile yourself. That word defile there means that you spoil yourself. You let yourself go to smoil. You become rancid. You lose your flavor. And you lose your favor with your fellow man and with God. It hurts you. The New Testament affirms and identifies. God's word also tells us in the New Testament that it indicts us. That word is a legal term. Bearing false witness is indictable. It carries with it the idea that if you go into a court of law and you say that which is not true, you are bearing false witness and you yourself become the subject of the criminal investigation. To be indicted means that whereas one time you were bearing testimony toward the crime, you now are part of the crime. You bring yourself into that. It indicts. It describes. Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7 tells us about Stephen. It's an incredible story. Stephen was the first martyr. Do you know what killed Stephen, by the way? Anyone know? False witness. They came against Stephen. They got a group of people and they bore false witness against him. And it ended up with Stephen losing his life and being stoned. The New Testament appoints us to be witnesses. And when the Great Commission took place and the coming of the Holy Spirit, and God's word tells us that you are appointed to become witnesses. And all of us are commissionaries, not to bear false witness, but to be witnesses to the truth of God's word. The New Testament motivates us.
It does motivate us, doesn't it? Forgive the interruption. We have these 2 days to share this wonderful message from Dr. Wilton on one word. And before we wrap up today's edition, Dr. Wilton has a very special, perhaps most important thought of the day.
God has spoken to you, hasn't he? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on a cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave.
Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
After the Encouraging Word broadcast is over, there's still a wonderful place to connect 24 hours a day. It's theencouragingword.org. You can visit our message archives, download Dr. Wilton's sermons, or sign up for our weekly podcast. A favorite button on our website is the prayer request button, where you can share a prayer request or personal need. Maybe you have a praise report or a testimony. Let us know so we can rejoice with you as well. You can also sign up for our daily Bible guide and have devotions sent to your email every single day. Now, if you have a question about your salvation, perhaps questions about how to share your faith with a friend, let us walk you through the steps to a personal relationship with Jesus and the ability to share that with others. If you're looking for a book from Dr. Wilton or maybe a CD or DVD, we have resources ready to send to you at the click of a button. No matter what the reason, we hope you'll connect with us today online at theencouragingword.org. Well, you know, as we've been listening to Dr. Wilton, whether it be from the pulpit as he was preaching earlier for the first 25 minutes of this program or in these last few moments in the studio, I pray that you would not allow this moment to pass without responding. If the Lord has stirred your heart to respond, let us talk you through what's next. Let us encourage you. You can connect with us right now at 866-899-WORD. Again, that phone number is not just something we use during this particular 30-minute period. It connects you with one of us right now and 24 hours a day to talk and pray, to connect you with the right resources, maybe to answer some questions about what God has stirred up in your heart that Dr. Wilton's been preaching about today. Again, that's our lifeline in some ways. And I know we talk just a little bit on our phones these days, but we text a little bit more. So if you'd like to text, you can do that as well. You just need to know that we stand ready to connect with you, whether we're on our website, theencouragingword.org. You can use your keyboard right there. But we also enjoy speaking with you. And I believe that some of you right now, it's been a while since you've had a conversation with someone that was ready to pray for you. Not only ready, but called. It's what God has called us to do, to pray for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And before we get away, a closing thought from Dr. Don.
Hello, my friends. I want to just personally speak to you for a minute today from my heart to yours. I hope you're having a great day today. I don't think that there's ever been a more better or perhaps important time for us to respond to this world by standing up for righteousness. I know that you'll agree with me. In fact, with this in mind, I'd like to invite you to become an Encourager Ministry partner with me. Together, we can impact lives both now and for all eternity. The Daily Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. And to know that you are standing with me financially enables me to move forward with confidence to do the work God has called me to do. So please, let me ask you to call the number provided at the end of today's broadcast and say, I want to become an encourager. Thanks so much for helping me.